Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to another episode of The After Show. We are once again back in the saddle after a longer than anticipated break. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me is Mike. Party on, Mike.
Party on, Kelly. How you doing?
I'm kind of in a weird headspace right now. I'm hopped up on a whole... I mean, it's 2017. Let's start there. I'm hopped up on a whole lot of sugar because my in-laws dropped by about an hour ago and brought me donuts because I wasn't here last week on my birthday. And they said, we didn't get to give you donuts on your birthday, so have donuts today instead. Like, I'm going to turn down free Pips donuts. So yay, Pips donuts, Pips original, right here in Portland. They make these baby donuts, like, and you get them fresh off the line. So even though they had to drive them all the way out here, they were still a little bit warm. And they have one with candied bacon on it. And I got some of the Nutella ones, too, and some of the Dirty Woo because, yeah, it's a whole thing. Anyway.
Wow.
I don't know if you can tell. I'm a little hopped up on sugar. And they were delicious. So I had birthday donuts. And you and I cracked each other up while we were trying to get recording. And so... So it's anybody's guess what this show's going to turn out to be today.
We'll see. And I am number one. Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday. Donuts or no donuts. Your birthday is all your the anniversary of your birth is always cause for celebration. Number two, I am recording from the office today. So if it sounds like I am sitting at the bottom of a fish tank made of acoustic tile, that is the reason. Not my usual mic, not my usual audio environment. My room tone is loud and buzzy and very, very bright. And number three, yes, the reason we were laughing so hard is because I was swearing loudly at a process on my Mac that was running amok, but amok time is the Star Trek episode.
Yes.
So the process was running amok, and it was worthy of me saying, you know, frickin' frackin', this and that. Gotta quit the parental controls demon, which Kelly just thought was really funny because I was already swearing because clearly it wasn't working. It wasn't doing the job. It was just chewing up CPU cycles. It wasn't keeping anybody's – washing anybody's mouth out with soap. So we had to deal with that. But – anyway, we're back.
It's just, it's hilarious to me to listen to swearing at parental controls. And I, that just tickles me. So it's just so funny.
Something you got to do. I wanted to thank you because I had the opportunity to record a different podcast this week.
What the what?
I know. It was crazy. And it was with John Martellaro.
Martellaro.
important to get the host's name right.
Yes.
John Martellaro from the Mac Observer. He invited me to join his show Background Mode as a guest, which was fascinating. And it was only after I recorded the show with him that I found my Origin Stories post for Tua from 2013.
Oh yeah.
Which would have
been so fun.
They were fun. It would have made the conversation a lot easier because when I was scratching my head and saying, I can't quite remember when this happened, I had written it all down. So so that would have been useful. But it was great. And John's a delightful host and a great interviewer, and it was very fun to talk to him. So
John is super fun. If you haven't had a chance to listen to Background Mode, I totally recommend it. It's not very long. And John is always looking for people who have an interesting story to tell, but he started with me anyway. And it's a lot, it's a great show. He gets to talk to all kinds of fascinating people about the only way I can really put it is like, so what's your deal? Not like in a bad
basically.
Way, but like, what's your deal? And I love the variety of people that he talks to. And I love the stories that people tell. And there's always something that comes out of nowhere that sort of seems to surprise both John and the person being interviewed as they're talking about it, which is always really great. Like when you can take somebody to a very different and interesting place and, you know, stuff that they're not normally talking about. And so I adore that show. There aren't a lot of podcasts. There are a lot of podcasts I wish I could make time for, and a lot of them end up slipping. But John's is one that I never miss because it's always fascinating. And the people that he has on have some really interesting story to tell. So that's really great. The bonus tip I would give everybody here is that in case you didn't know, even though there is no more Tua, we live on as Tua.Engadget.com. So if there was something there that time that you want to go back and refer to, as I do occasionally when I pull out Erica Sadoun's Everything We Know About the Upcoming iPhone post that she did, it was Apple's making one. We know they're going to release it.
Yeah.
Thank you. That is all.
sadly, the link is dead, but the posts are not. So if you try to go to that link, you just get redirected to the main Engadget page. Our individual author pages are gone.
They are?
But you can still search for the old links, the old direct links, the old deep links will still work. And you can still Google for stories or search it in Engadget for specific stories. Kind of a drag. But yeah, so that's, you know, that's a thing. But yeah, so that was definitely exciting and fun and very different than doing our show. And we talked a little bit about our show and the structure or non-structure thereof. Speaking of which, also things that were funny before we started. Things you should have been here for the pre-show. we were talking about one of our favorite Twitter accounts, Swear Trek, run by the inimitable Aaron Reynolds. And Aaron has been working on a couple things recently on Swear Trek, a couple of themes. One going back a few weeks having to do with reframing the entire episode of Spock's Brain, where Spock's brain is removed by a planet of women, and substituting another part of Spock's anatomy, deeply hilarious, deeply inappropriate. But now, what's going on is we have two of the Voyager characters who have been reimagined. One is drunk, cynical Naomi Wildman, who of course is the kid. So that's amazing. Those are hilarious. And also aligned with Drunk Naomi Wildman is Boston Neelix, who inexplicably speaks with a very thick Boston accent as rendered in GIFs. So if you haven't seen the stuff Aaron is doing, it's great. He is the proprietor of Swear Trek, Bat Labels, and also
Effin Birds,
which actually, if you go to effinbirds.com, you can buy some of his merch, which is great. There is a mug and also a sign that is a bird with the caption, "I bet this problem will go away if we have more blanking meetings." Yes. Which if you have the guts to buy that for your workplace, more power to you. I think that's fantastic. Anyway, but That's our holiday shopping guide, folks. Congratulations. You've experienced it. No, we'll probably come up with some more things that we think you should buy.
This is one of the accounts that Aaron Reynolds has. These are accounts that I always point out to people when people are like, oh, Twitter is so terrible. It's just, you know, how all of these things are on fire and the world is burning down or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Partly that, but also partly Twitter's what you make of it. And here's how you make it better. And one of the ways is you start with Bat Labels. And for those who don't know, Bat Labels is just screenshots of Batman 66, the old series with Adam West, where there were giant, obvious labels on things. And he just points them out. And so the content of the tweet is, you know, henchman, and then they show like two guys in shirts that say henchman on them, and that's it. That's the entire account, but they're randomly sprinkled throughout your day. So like, this is on fire and this thing is broken and that's burning down and this person just got accused of sexual misconduct and now henchman, or you know, punch-o-matic or whatever it is. And so these little things just sort of get sprinkled throughout your timeline and they are delightful. If you like your amusing Twitter accounts a bit saltier, Effin' Birds is the way to go. It's also one of my favorites. I'm always really pleased to see that. And I also love that he passes on when people show like the serendipity of their timeline where somebody says something about like, I have to go to another stupid meeting. And then right under it is the effing birds image about effing meetings. And they're so great. And so if you ever get a chance, these are super fun accounts to follow. I love them, and you should maybe check them out. They can help bring a little bit of sunshine to your Twitter timeline, and that's never a bad thing.
That's never indeed a bad thing. So there's a holiday gift tip for you. Set up your relatives with obscene Twitter and get them mugs. A couple other things have been going on. One of the reasons we didn't have a chance to record for a few weeks, I had been saying for a long time, hey, I'll be in San Francisco for Dreamforce. You can come catch me there. Well, funny story, I didn't go because it didn't actually happen. It was fake news. And the reason was because I prioritized my family. Wow. Apparently, in the Appalachian Hills of West Virginia, I prioritized my family, which comes out as prioritizing my family. I did a little work family integration, and my daughter, younger daughter's bat mitzvah was the weekend of November 11th, and so made the call not to go across the country for the week prior to that. Was a really good call. We had a wonderful time. We had a wonderful family time there. I want to publicly apologize to friend and colleague Ross Rubin, who didn't get an invite, which was entirely my fault. So Ross, I apologize to you.
Oh no.
Yeah, my bad. We were sloppy, and mistakes were made. And when I say mistakes, I mean leaving people off the invite list. And when I say were made, I mean by me. we had family in from all over the place. We had friends there. We had a giant candy bar. We had my quirky child said she only wanted, there were only two things she really wanted. One thing she wanted was a bubble tea bar. So I went and found a food truck company, the food truck rental company, like a company that does food trucks that contracts with food trucks for events, called Roaming Hunger out of LA. And they were great to work with. And I said, I'm looking for bubble tea. And they said, well, we have one vendor in New York that does bubble tea. And they're called Tea and Milk. And they were also great. So they came, they set up, they did bubble tea. Everybody's like, bubble tea, that's amazing. Who would have thought of that? The other request that my wonderful child had is that we
if you have to preface child with wonderful,
no, she's awesome. No, she is, she's legit awesome. She said, Daddy, I want a Jeopardy game at my bat mitzvah, because we have access to classroom Jeopardy set.
You are the person who can execute on this.
She asked because specifically she knew it was something that I could accomplish. She said, I want Jeopardy. I want a Jeopardy game at my bat mitzvah. I said, great. And she said, and I want it about me.
Oh, no.
So we did a full round. We didn't do a full game. We didn't do single and double Jeopardy and final Jeopardy. But we did a full round of Jeopardy questions about my daughter that I hosted, and I don't know if I'll put these pictures in the show notes, but the photographer caught her reactions as she was reacting to her friends getting the answers wrong about her.
Oh my gosh.
It was amazing. It was fantastic. It was so, so much fun, and she loved it so much. Keeping in mind, this is the same kid who traditionally during the bar or bat mitzvah, the honoree gives a speech about the week's the service and the week's reading from the Torah and does a little speech. My kid decided, no exaggeration, she decided to give her speech through interpretive dance.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So quite possibly for most of the people that were there, the first interpretive dance Bible commentary that they had witnessed. And
wow.
And just like, you know what? you do you as if there was another way to go. So we're incredibly proud of her, and it was quite amazing. And in fact, for her project, because she has to do a community service project as part of this, she is actually going to build out her interpretive dance piece into an hour-long program, incorporating stuff she's going to choreograph and with other people and other performers as well. And she's going to perform and produce this hour-long program in the spring at the temple to raise money for a human services organization. So,
wow.
The Kvelling, so much nachas, is like, it's amazing. So very impressed. And, this is maybe not an excuse for not doing the show for 3 weeks or more,
well,
but
there's a lot of stuff that has to, you know, that's
there happening. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. You had to go like whip up a bubble tea bar. I had to go to Los Angeles and speak at a conference. I had to have a birthday. There was a whole go-kart situation. Like, yeah, lots of stuff's been going on.
What's with the go-karts at the conference? You gotta fill me in on this.
Okay. So MacTech is a magazine. MacTech. Yeah. And MacTech conference, they always try to do something in the evening for the people who are attending the conference. And so a couple of times, I know one time they rented out Griffith Observatory and took everybody up there. I didn't get to go that year, unfortunately. But I did get to go the 2 years that they took everybody to Disney Animation Studios for the evening. And we got to... that was super fun. And so there's always like... at least one night where like something cool and really interesting happens and you get to like go nerd out. We got to go to the Science Center next to the Olympic Coliseum there in Los Angeles 1 year, and we got to see the space shuttle. That was really cool. Somebody brought a Lego set, and so we got to assemble a Lego version of the space shuttle underneath the actual space shuttle that was of the Lego set. It was awesome. So they always do something fun every year. And this year, what they did for the night was we all got on buses and we all went to this place that has go-karts, and not just go-karts, but they brought the In-N-Out truck, because lots of people who come to the conference are not locals. And the first couple of years, the hotel that we were at was across the street from In-N-Out. So everybody was really excited about that. And then they had to get a different hotel, and they got a lot of feedback about how there's no In-N-Out in the vicinity of that hotel. and that this is terrible. So what they did was brought a food truck. And I say food truck, like you know food truck and I know food truck, and we have this picture of in our minds of a food truck, but what they brought was a semi with an In-N-Out trailer attached.
Okay.
This is the In-N-Out food truck.
So I just involuntarily slobbered on my headset. that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
And it's amazing because it's like a full-on, there's a grill in the back and the whole, like, yeah. So you just roll up and you're like, yeah, double animal style. And then that's what they hand you. And it's amazing. So they had this outside, and then on the inside was the go-kart track. And you got to get in the go-karts and go to town. It was super awesome. But one of the things this year was that I actually got to take Mr. Kelly with me. So during the day, while I was at the conference learning stuff, he was amok in the greater Los Angeles area. So he went to Universal one day, and he went to Long Beach and cruised around there one day and got to have a lot of fun doing different stuff. And so
He was on a frolic. He was at loose ends. Cool.
He was at large in LA. And so I said, so one of the conference organizers said to me, well, yeah, you're coming to go-karts tonight, right? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, okay, well, what if I tell you you have to come? And I have a badge for your husband so he can come too. And I'm like, well, I guess we're going to go-kart. So I had to text him and go, hi, you need to be here about 7 because we have to get on a bus for the evening event. He's like, okay. Wow. So he shows up. So we go to the event. We're there. It's super fun. There's go-karts. I get to go really fast. It was a lot of fun. And partway through the night, they sort of stop the go-karts. And Ed, one of the organizers, gets a microphone and he says, hey, I just want to let you guys know, part of the reason we're doing go-karts tonight is because it's a super fun thing everyone can do. And also because it's Kelly's birthday. And so let's all sing happy birthday to Kelly. And then there was cake. And what? That was why he needed to make sure that it was at, that's why he needed to make sure I was going to be there and made sure that there was a badge for Mr. Kelly to get to go with us as well, because it was like a private event. It wasn't like we were in amongst the regular go-karters of the evening. It was just conference. So we got to go-kart as much as we wanted to. It was super awesome. And there was cake, and they sang to me, and the cake was Happy Birthday Kelly on it. It was really awesome. I was very excited. And the reason that this is so funny to me is because one of the things that I said when Ed had invited me to speak at MacTech, I said, okay, well, this year you've put the conference on my birthday, so I don't want to tell you which one it is, but if you will make a big deal about my birthday, I will come speak. And he said, done. And so he did.
So transactional. I just like, here's the deal. Here's what's in my rider. No green M&Ms. I need just the lime LaCroix, and you got to make a big deal about my birthday. That's fantastic.
It's the cherry lime, actually. Cherry lime LaCroix is what's on my lime, rider.
Cherry lime. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Point of order. Cherry lime LaCroix is my drag name. We don't want to get those mixed up. it's LaCroix. Put it out there. Cherry LaCroix, LaCroix,
sweetie. Anyway, like I was sort of kidding, and Ed was like, "I will make that happen," and I'm like, "Okay, then I'll come speak," because I don't usually get to like have a big deal about my birthday most of the time, because like lots of people I know aren't local, and you know everybody's like ramping up for Thanksgiving, so sometimes like my birthday sort of gets lost in the shuffle to everyone but me, who does things like wake up at 5:30. And realize that Mr. Kelly's alarm is about to go off, and like gently tap him on the shoulder and go, "Hey, hey, hey, do you know it's today? Do you know it's today?" And he's like, "Huh?" And I go, "It's my birthday. It's my birthday." Cause that's me. And I really like my birthday. And so after we were done and I told Ed, "Thank you." And like, I super appreciated it. I was super, he goes, "You're the one that likes to wear the sombrero in the Mexican restaurant, aren't you?" And I'm like, "Yes, that's totally me." And he's like, "That's what I figured." So I got to go. Gosh. I got to speak. I got to talk about becoming a Mac admin for App Camp for Girls and what that meant, you know, sort of like, because when you sort of get dropped in the deep end, there's a lot of stuff that you learn very quickly, whether you want to or not. So I talked a little bit about that, and that was what my talk was about. And it was super fun. And while I was there, apparently a couple of people reached out to Matt X, who does Mac DevOps in Vancouver, BC. And so like right after my talk was lunch. And so I'm eating lunch and my phone starts melting down. And it's like a bunch of people who said that they heard my talk was great. And then one of them was the guy who organizes Mac DevOps. And he reached out to me and he said, "Hey, I heard from a number of people that your talk was really great. Do you want to come talk in Vancouver about this next June?" And I'm like, that's a hard sell. Of course I want to come talk about like becoming an admin and how that's awesome. And like, you're going to give me another chance to stand in a room and tell people about how App Camp is awesome. And like, that's why I'm doing all of this, which at some points has seemed like a very high level of nonsense, just in order to help App Camp continue to do what App Camp does. Like, you really want me to like stand, because if you really want me to come stand in another room of people and tell them about that, I'm happy to do it, because
yeah,
you know, why sounds not? Great. So maybe I will end up in Vancouver next summer. Vancouver is lovely in June. And anyway, it was a lot of fun. Getting to go to the conference was super great, and getting the opportunity to meet up with people and catch up with folks that I don't get to see very often. And it was reminiscent of Macworld in that the hallway track was inevitably the best track. And there's a reason that conferences will never really go away. And if they ever do, we have genuinely lost something as a society, because there's nothing that compares to that, like catching up with someone in the hallway and having it morph into a completely different conversation, or the opportunity to randomly bump into somebody and get to talk to them about whatever it is and have that become something that like completely changes your perspective on something that you're doing.
Yeah. And it's wonderful to hear that it is still happening. You know, I think those of us who spent a lot of time at Macworld Expo sort of assumed that a lot of that was going away. But I know from my experience at MacStock in Illinois, and from others and from other smaller conferences, the other ones in California, there's still a lot there. And MacTech's been around a long time, and those guys have been working very hard to make that a quality experience for everybody. So more power to them. And I hope you do get to go to Vancouver, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Even like I kind of want to just attend, even if I don't get to speak. It still seems like it would be really fun. So it would be great. And you know, like for example, let's talk about the hallway track for a second. I caught up with Matt Schnicker, who works at Walt Disney Animation, and I met him at MacTech ages ago. And you know, we chat here and there. And I caught up with him, like he had just showed up. And he had just gotten to the hotel, and I was there talking to him, and we just started having this conversation about like, what have you been up to? What have I been up to? How are things, you know, like in general. And we had this conversation, and I sort of was talking about how, I've been like trying to learn programming, and I feel like I get to this certain point and I get stuck. And he sat down and he spent an hour and a half and he taught me Python.
What?
Like, not all of it, but he had this class that, like, he and Greg Niggle put together that, like, for PSU Mac admins or something a couple of years ago. And he was like, here, let me airdrop you the deck, and we're just going to walk through all these steps. And so we sat, and he, like, took me through all the basic stuff in Python. And so now I have a homework assignment, and I have a thing I have to send him. A program that I write from scratch and send it to him and have it functioning in a couple of weeks. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So hallway track, I'm telling you.
Hallway seminar, hallway Seriously. Graduate degree. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was so much fun. So shout out. I don't know if he's listening or not, but shout out to him. We're going to have to do some of those later anyway. Don't forget this time.
I won't forget. We're going to run out of time though, so we actually should do them pretty quick. But before we do shout outs and before we enthusiastically oh my gosh, there's so much going on. There's the autocorrect bug, and you know, the ability to now yell at people who text you a bar a I ching and like, you haven't updated your phone. There's net neutrality going on. There's the Uber security breach that just got publicized today, like 15 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah. Everyone you know is terrible.
Everyone you know. Oh, God. So I hit my – today was the day I hit my point of I can't anymore. I just can't. And I think unsurprisingly for anyone who listens to the show – that point is John Lasseter.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. I think the Charlie Rose, John Conyers, Roy Moore, over the past few days, you know, go back further. We've got Kevin Spacey and mm-hmm. Louis C.K. and, this poor sad sack Ohio legislator whose name I can't remember, but today the John Lasseter and of course Al Franken, the John Lasseter thing, I'm just like, you know what, I am truly sorry for everybody involved, because you're talking about somebody who has, you know, truly made it his life's work to create things that are amazing and awesome. And now it's, you know, now we can, now as it's horrible for everybody. It's just horrible. Mm-hmm. And I do hope that he in his proposed 6-month sabbatical gets his act together. I deeply sympathize and feel for the people at Pixar and Disney who were made uncomfortable and who were made to feel like they were not, like they had to guard themselves against this behavior.
And
because it's just not okay.
And what's sort of like funny is not the word, but it's sort of like it's funny, I guess. Not funny, haha, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is the number of people who have reached out to me, because I'm not a shrinking violet by any means. I'm
what?
Not
no.
secret.
What?
I am no delicate flower. I don't know if
what?
You've heard. But
all right.
What's fascinating is the number of people who have reached out to me and sort of been like, is this really a thing? You know? And I'm like, of course it's a thing. And yes, I've had crap like this that happened to me and I've spoken up about it. And in some cases, if it's just a comment, if it's not actual physical contact, if it's just a comment, however rude, I have in most cases either called that person out or just like blown them off and sort of been very obvious about why. Like, that is not cool. This conversation is over. You know, if you want to take another shot at it, like, we need to establish some ground rules, because that's not how conversation works. And so, yeah, like, these are things, you know. So it's funny to me how many people, I guess, are surprised by this, because I'm like, do you not know any women who draw a paycheck from a company where they have to work with other people?
Right.
Because if you do, you have heard something very much like one of these stories.
Yeah.
Whether you realized it at the time or not. And, you know, I was thinking about a lot of this recently with the number of women speaking up and sort of the weaponizing of being female that has happened in the last year or so. And I realized what it is that sort of revved me up and made me get more political and dish out more money and volunteer more time than I already did to different organizations is that it seems to be a fundamental safety issue to me, because it used to be in the olden days, you know, 2015, that if somebody said something rude to me or attempted to put their hand on me, I could put the skids to it and blow it off. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a problem. I could shrug that off. It wasn't an issue, because I had this fundamental sense of safety. Like, whatever, like, yeah, that guy's a jerk, whatever. But like, I know lots of guys who are not jerks. I know lots of people who would back me and say that that's not okay. That shouldn't be what happens.
Right.
That's not cool. Yo, knock that off.
But now we're in the dark timeline.
But now, yes, we've ended up in the darkest timeline. Here comes pizza delivery. Everything's on fire. And so, like, it doesn't feel like that anymore, because it turns out, like, for a lot of people, you know, the network that I thought I had, I may not actually have, because and it's indicated by the number of things that have happened over the last year that, like, weren't supposed to happen or weren't meant to happen or everybody said wouldn't happen that then subsequently happened anyway or whatever it is. Like, no, I have to call it out. I have to stand up for myself. I have to point this out every time. It has to be a big deal.
Right.
And that's, like, that's not a thing that people are, I guess, necessarily cognizant of. Like, a lot of guys are probably not cognizant of this, because a lot of guys don't have to have this interaction with people where somebody said something to you that nobody else could hear, and maybe it was kind of icky, and maybe you feel a little gross about it, and now in the back of your mind you just have to put that away in the little file of things that you use, the facts and the information and the compatibility matrix of you in the world of, like, I need to make sure I don't have a one-on-one meeting with this person ever again. Or I need to make, you know, or somebody tells you, like, you shouldn't really, like, don't let that guy get you in the conference room by yourself. And you just have to put that away in your little file of, like, I never meet you except in the fishbowl, which doesn't have curtains, so everyone can see what you're doing all the time. Like, these things happen in so many places, and, you know, for people who aren't paying as much attention as others, the missing stare is a very good description of this problem, and there's a lot of that. And it became a thing where, like, I feel like a lot of people need to be able to call it out, and a lot of people need to be able to stand up. Now, I also understand that going against the status quo really sucks. It's hard. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of emotional energy. You will feel bad.
yeah.
Ask me how I know. And and there's a, like, it's a whole thing in and of itself that you have to be willing to carry and fight for and defend. And it's a thing, and maybe you have to, and, like, you know, this all started with tech, like within the last year, you know, like it was, you know, it was really gross if you had anything to do with like any Silicon Valley company, you know, like you knew somebody who had quit that company because of behavior like this towards them. And they went, well, you know, I can stay here and I can fight this uphill battle. And I've told everybody that I can, and nobody seems to be interested in what I'm saying. And there's only so much effort I am willing to expend, you know, because it's going to take over my entire life. And so I'm going to have to go do something else. And it's easier for me to leave a career that I have actively pursued for all of this time, however long that is.
Right.
Than it is for me to have to continue to put up with this and then go to another company where I'm not necessarily going to get treated any better.
Well, but I mean, that was the thing about the Uber. That was the beginning of the end for Travis Kalanick and the Uber situation was someone who had agency, who had a voice, who had agency, and who had choices, because she didn't stay at Uber and, you know, sort of stiff upper lip her way through it.
Right.
It's like, I have a professional skill set that is in demand. This is a market that I don't have to put up with this.
Mm-hmm.
And not only am I not going to put up with it, I'm going to warn people, and I'm going to make it clear why I went someplace else and am pursuing my craft someplace else. So you're right that we had a little time in tech to get used to this, you know, shooting gallery of industry leaders, of people that we thought we respected, falling from their pedestals and cracking into a million pieces. And then, and also the separate piece of that was also getting used to hearing and understanding and listening from women saying, you don't know, this is simply the way it has been for so long. The difference is now people are actually standing up and saying it's not okay.
Right.
And saying it out loud. But I think you have touched on something fundamental, which is that the lack of implied safety, the lack of confidence that, you know, up and down the power structure of our society, there will be people who will be allies, and there will be people who will try to do the right thing, knowing very concretely that that's not necessarily true, has in some cases, I guess, changed the equation about speaking out versus suffering in silence. And I think that is something that I hadn't thought about until you said it, but I think you're right. I think that's true.
Well, and like, on the one hand, it makes me really angry that like, this is how I have to spend my life now. Right. Like,
right.
You know, this is a thing I have to do. And here's the thing that sometimes sort of, I think, gets overlooked in all of this is that I know the plural of anecdote is not data, but I'm pretty sure almost every woman that I know who has ever worked in any office, in any industry, at any point, has had somebody say something to them that they probably shouldn't have said. Now, fireable offense is a whole other conversation, because obviously in some places these offenses are not fireable or we wouldn't be where we are. So the thing about it is that this has basically happened to everybody, and I guarantee you, if it has ever happened to a woman or a man in an office, the last couple of months has been brutal, because you are basically, every one of these headlines is basically saying, remember that time that guy said that thing, or that person did that thing to you, and remember how it was weird and it was icky and you didn't know what to do, and maybe you were in a position where you had to sort of smile and take it, whatever it was, whether it was physical contact or just a continued barrage of rude comments or whatever. Like, you had to take it because you weren't in a position to just leave and go get another job because you weren't, you know, somebody with a super in-demand skill set or whatever. And and so the last month has been really trying for a lot of people, and for that reason.
Well, and I think, and it, you did some interesting work there in qualifying the directionality of this. I had an experience over the past couple of years that's not too far off what people are talking about. It wasn't physical harassment or it didn't, it rose to a level where I felt it might be reportable, and then the situation resolved itself because the other party was no longer at the company. But I had I had things said to me by a particular person in with colleagues around where I said to myself, wow, that's really not appropriate. That's unprofessional and, you know, problematic. And, you know, I could choose to find it flattering, or I could choose to find it cause to go talk to HR. And my most overwhelming reaction was, so this is a little tiny taste for a little while of what it's like to be a woman in the workplace every damn day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was eye-opening. And it was, and it gave me, I felt like it, as unpleasant as it was, or as uncomfortable as it was. I mean, again, I don't want to overstate how serious or unserious this was. It was something where I felt that I could and probably should bring it to the attention of management. At the point that I did, it was not really going to be an issue because that person was going someplace. And, but I was given to understand it wasn't the first or only time. And this was a woman who had come from the financial industry. So if there's any place worse than the entertainment industry and the tech industry,
yeah,
for this sort of thing, it's the financial industry. So, the learned behavior and the lack of boundary perception, mm-hmm, was understandable because it came out of a certain environment, a certain set of norms. But at the same time, I was like, okay, I kind of get it a little better now that if this were happening to me multiple times a day, every day, from people who had actual power over me, as opposed to this person who did not,
mm-hmm,
what would that be like? How would that change the way I relate to the world? It is overwhelmingly prevalent. It is overwhelmingly common and overwhelmingly prevalent. And the fact that now people are talking about it, and they're talking about it both in the context of these powerful abusers and people who have misbehaved and who have done horrible things, and also in the context of people who are not well known or who are powerful in their own contexts and their own environs. For our health as a society, it's incredibly important work, and it's work that has to happen. For our own equilibrium, like turning our eye to the news notifications on our phone and just going, oh, please, Lord, please. Like it's the Mr. Rogers problem. Like, if Mr. Rogers were still alive, if Fred Rogers were still alive, we would all be in absolute dread of that notification. And it's, by the way, not something that ever happened, as far as I know. And I know people who knew him. And it's not, I'm not saying that Fred Rogers was inappropriate with women at not a thing, but I'm saying that's the feeling that we're sort of dealing with now, which is
right.
we have to be able to believe that people are capable of really crappy behavior, and that people can be complex and people can be, you know, human, mm-hmm, without excusing what they're doing or what they have done. Like, you can take it all the way from Travis Kalanick, who I mean, not a good example because it's not necessarily, he wasn't necessarily directly implicated in the abusive behaviors, but you can take it all the way from people who you don't think much of and who are doing this, to people who you do think a lot of, to people who you actually adore what they've done and what they've done professionally and what they've done creatively and artistically. And then you have to be like, all right, now what do we do? And I think that this was part of the conversation around Bill Cosby for a while, is that how do we,
mm-hmm,
you know, we've absorbed the fact that essentially everything people are saying is true, or the vast majority of these accusations are well-founded. How do we deal with the work product? Like, how do we deal with it? What do we do? How what does it feel like to watch, you know, I want to go see Coco when it opens this week. I want to see that movie. How am I going to, and again, this is de minimis. This is like the least problem. This is the smallest problem, but it's part of what makes, this hit home, because it is people having these horrible experiences at the hands of these powerful individuals, overwhelmingly male individuals. And then having to be like, okay, everything I thought about you, I'm going to revisit because you apparently are really a jerk.
You know, and that's and that's hard. And like, it's a whole other conversation. Like, I've seen a lot of people writing about this, but at the same time, like, think for a minute though about how you felt about, you know, when this happened, and you were like, I don't know what my options are. And then as soon as you're like, well, I can go tell somebody about it or not, you know, then all of a sudden there's all these mitigating factors.
Or what the effect would be on them. Yeah.
What you could do or what you should do, or, but what about this? And what is this trade? And am I sacrificing ever getting a promotion? Am I sacrificing my own job by calling out this person? And, you know, when it went down at Uber, remember one of the people who had done the harassing, they said, oh, this is the first time this has happened and we had no idea and it'll never happen again. And then this woman happened to mention it to someone else and she goes, yeah, that's what they told me last year when I complained about him too. And there's a certain amount of that. And the thing that was really interesting about, I think it was the Weinstein one that came out, was somebody saying the biggest trick the devil ever pulled was not anything from the usual suspects, which at that point we didn't know was Icky, but it was it was making people believe that HR is there for employees and not to protect the company. And like, when you think about it that way, it's a very different thing. And, you know, I sort of like, it's frustrating and it's icky and it's weird and it's not a conversation I ever wanted to have at all, which is why I don't go around telling everybody about like all the stuff that's ever happened to me in my life. But it's the sort of thing that that I think like people are fine. Like men, I think particularly, let's just be honest about it. I think men are finally understanding what kind of level it is that women operate on. And so if you think a woman maybe isn't listening to you, there's a very good reason for that, because that woman is doing a threat assessment of the room that she is in. And she's trying to figure out if she needs to walk around with her keys between her fingers, Wolverine style or not. And it is for her physical safety. It has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not you're wearing your hair parted on the proper side. Like, this is a thing I don't think some people understand. Like, you know, and like, I think it's starting to become clear. Like, this is a conversation I've had with Mr. Kelly a couple of times, you know, like, is this really? Yes, really. And, you know, I see that story and I raise you this one because this is what happened to me, you know, like, and I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to be that person. I just want people to go, wow, it really does suck. And it seems like everybody seems to think it's okay. And it's not so much that everybody thinks it's okay. I think it's just that people don't want to get involved. They don't want to help. They don't want to end up putting their neck out and then be wrong, you know, because that's the rest of it. And like, you just sort of have to take people at face value, because nobody wants to be coming out and saying this stuff. Nobody wants to be talking about it. Nobody wants to talk about how I didn't do anything about it later, or nobody believed me, or any, like, you know, or I didn't want to lose my job because I'm raising a kid all by myself and it was the only job I had, you know, and I didn't have a way to line anything else up because I was new to the field, or, you know, whatever it is. There's like 8 million extenuating circumstances that keep people from standing up and saying no and not worrying about whether or not they can keep their job. And like, you know, let's talk about health insurance for a minute, because that's a big reason a lot of people stay in a job that they don't necessarily want or like. So there's so much to what causes people to come to the decisions they come to. So the woman in your life, there may be one, there may be many. Yep. Hug them with consent and like, and just tell them, like, I don't know what it was, but I know it's been on replay in your brain for the last couple of months, and I'm really sorry that that happened to you. And that sometimes is all people need. Like, I'm really sorry that that happened to you. I don't need you to tell me what it was. I don't need specifics.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I know it happened.
And make it.
And that sucks.
Make
and
it,
I'm sorry.
Making it okay that whatever the decision was retrospectively, it is okay. It has to be okay. We're the well, why didn't they say anything? It's been 40 years. You know what? F that.
Well, let's start with when you're a 14-year-old girl and you say the district attorney tried to get into my pants. Who are you going
to
believe?
How's that going to go? I have to say, just for the record, if you get called by out of trigonometry class by a 30-something-year-old, there's no way that goes well. There's no way that ends well. And what the hell? No. Where the hell are the grown-ups in this scenario? And all the questions you might ask. But it has got to be okay to tell your story and to share the truth of your own experience. It has to be. There's literally nowhere else we can go but to say,
yeah,
you have to be able to share your truth of what happened to you. And knowing there are people who are going to say, you know, that's being made up or someone is lying. You know what? You got to speak out anyway. We have to support the people who are at least trying to set some sort of record straight.
But I'm going to use this again. So if you're a guy, please get a pen and write this down. Put it on Post-it. Stick it on the bottom of your monitor. Whatever. Because you need the following sentence. Women had a meeting. I'm allowed to tell you this. We passed a resolution at the last meeting. Here's the deal. That sucks. I'm sorry. Whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Because if I come to you and I tell you, Mike, this thing happened to me at work one time. It was icky. It was terrible. Your reaction as a guy is to save the day. It's to fix the problem. I'm telling you this so that you will help me resolve it. No, that's not what's happening. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just because I need to say it out loud. I need to get it off my chest. You are the person who needs to know for whatever reason, whoever you are. So we don't always need it fixed. Just know that. And sometimes all we need is for you to look, to have somebody look me in the eye and say, that sucks. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's all it. So in some cases, that's all the higher the bar is. Four words. That sucks. I'm sorry. Just give me that. And because that tells me so many things. You're not disagreeing with me. You're not telling me I'm wrong. You're not telling me how to fix it. You're not telling me how to make it better. You're not telling me to dismiss it. You're not dismissing me. What you are doing is telling me, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. It's terrible that you have to say this. And I want you to know that I'm sympathizing with you. Now, at that point, the ball is back in my court. What can you do, Mike, to help me solve this? What can you do? How can we, at that point, it's up to me. If I want you to offer solutions, you know, Mike, do you have a bat? Like, then you have the conversation.
Or perhaps the business card of the district attorney. I mean, whatever, although not if you're in Gadsden, Alabama. But
but yes.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, it's up to me the way the conversation goes. It's up, if I want more, if I actually want solutions from you, if I want something else from you, whatever it is, like, then it's on me to do that asking. But at first, like, your opening gambit can be, that sucks, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah. Often it is. And it took me a long time to learn those four words. I believe I have them mastered at this point. But yeah, it's crucially important that people understand this entire situation is not really amenable to being fixed in the short term. So
right.
So you can be full of advice, but as my friend Melina says, no advice, hashtag no advice, please. People are not necessarily looking for solutions. People are looking for allies. And you can, it is in some ways harder, particularly if it's somebody that you care about, to say that sucks, I'm sorry, rather than, well, you know what you should do.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Because I understand, because what that says, what you are saying when you say, let me help you, is I care about you and this is a problem and I want to fix this problem for you because it is the problem and I can help you. I can make this thing better for you. And that's not always the way it needs to go, you know, like, because you're sort of skipping ahead steps, because that ends up being compassion. I want to take away the suffering you're having. you know, and that's not the same thing as just I feel it. And, you know, because like, so like pity is like, I'm suffering. So you are, you're suffering. I'm really sorry for you. And then sympathy is that you care that I'm having suffering. And then empathy is I am feeling your suffering with you. Mm-hmm. Like, and you have empathy that a lot of guys don't have because a lot of guys have not been in that situation at work. So you have empathy because you actually have been there. And then compassion is the part where you say, I will fix this for you because I can take this away from you. I don't want you to have to suffer anymore. I can make that go away. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, guess what, kids? You can't. So listen, you know, that sucks. I'm sorry. And then the way to say that you want to help is to say, how can I help? And maybe it's just sit here with me. Maybe it's pour me a drink. Maybe it's, you know, let's watch TV or something, you know, let's watch another episode of Westworld or whatever, that kind of stuff. Like, there's a very easy, you know, there's a very easy way for this to go. Like, now it's up to me to ask you for the help to fix the problem that I'm having. Do you have a bat? So.
And Westworld, by the way, a really interesting choice for binge watching in these contexts. It's like, let's imagine a world where this is happening all the time and the people it's happening to are fake.
Well, I'm
and is that better?
Yeah, I'm scheduling Westworld rewatches with Don Melton right now so we can continue our rewind show. And yeah, I'm feeling a little like maybe the like it's still fun on its own, so I really hope we don't hear anything icky about anybody in that show. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Jimmy Simpson. I mean, in some ways, like, in some ways, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody came out with something about Ed Harris, but at the same time, it would.
It totally would.
Yeah. Anyway, we have to move to shout-outs because I have to actually go help run a pub quiz downtown tonight.
Okay.
And it's the day before Thanksgiving. We will, once we're past Thanksgiving and into the Black Friday, Cyber Monday season, we'll talk about things we think you should buy for the people in your life.
We will totally have gift guides. And by the way, if you want to see what some of my picks are, I was on the first Mac Voices gift guide for this year, which is already out. So you can cruise over to Mac Voices and see the kind of stuff that I picked for people. I have a wide variety of stuff, and a lot of it is pretty agnostic technologically. So you can maybe find something there for people that don't have an iPhone or don't have a Mac or, you know, things like that.
I personally am looking forward to my life-size Chuck Joyner body pillow. So that's going to be fun on a cold winter night. What? You don't have one of those on your wish list? I don't. Why is that funny?
Well, I was in on the Kickstarter. It just wasn't
right. Yet. I think they moved it to Indiegogo. Kickstarter had it. Anyway. So shout outs. First of all, shout out. Hi, Chris Fuller.
Hi, Chris Fuller.
Hi, Info Driveway. Hi, Tony Walla. Hi, Other Kelly. How's the Blazers podcast going?
We did an episode, and then both of us had schedules that completely blew up the rest of our lives, and so we haven't recorded another one yet. I'm about to put out the first one. We have a number of games to catch up on, but we're working on it.
Excellent. It'll be fun. Well, and what is the name of the show?
It is... Did I tell you what it is already?
No, I'm learning.
We have a name. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah.
Set Blazers to Stun.
Oh, no.
Because I said it, and I was like,
oh, my God.
It's that. It's that now. It has to be that. So, yeah.
Nerd factor 12. Set Blazers to Stun.
I was like, it came to me, and I texted him immediately, and I went, I know what the name of the show is. I know what the name of the show is. I know what the name of the show is. Are you ready? And I texted him, like, 10 text messages or something of, like, I know what it is. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Have you emotionally prepared to hear the name of the show? Here it is. That Blazers, and then there was like nothing back from him for a couple of minutes, and I was like, I've made a terrible mistake, and then he came back like, oh my God, that is perfect. Yes.
he was probably like on set. He was like getting the makeup there, couldn't reach his phone. Well, I am looking forward to listening to it. Two of my favorite people named Kelly in one place at one time. And we shout outs to all of our other listeners. Thank you for sticking with us. This was a...
So, hold on. Yep. Hi, Phone Boy. Hi, Brittany. Hi. Who am I missing? I'm missing Diane, Cincy Golf Girl. And I think off the top of my head, that's all I'm missing right now. But yes, hi to all of you. And we didn't forget this time. So there you go.
And hi, Bill Frazier. And I think, well, that'll... And hi, Rich Rose, if he's listening. We'll find out.
Did you shout out your neighbor?
Oh, hi, Lenny Bass. What's up, Lenny?
Hi, Lenny.
Yeah, and we have new neighbors. Oh, I don't know if I can talk about this on the podcast. I probably can't. I'll tell you after the show. And listeners, you'll just have to wonder what the story is with Mike's new neighbors, because it's awesome. but in the meantime, Kelly, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter as Verso. After that, aside from that, I guess I should say, you can probably find me on a podcast. I occasionally show up on shows over at Incomparable, where I have the Westworld podcast with Don Melton that we've mentioned. We don't have a permanent home yet for Set Blazers to Stun, but we're working that out. It's going to be on iTunes, but as far as the site itself, I don't have anything set up yet. And you can hear me on Wednesdays on Mac Observer Daily Observations.
And you can find me at Mike T. Rose on Twitter. You can find me hopefully soon on the Background Mode podcast when it comes out, I think, this week. you can find me sub-hosting Geeks Who Drink quizzes around the New York metro area. And you could, of course, find the show at @_aftershow on Twitter and at Aftershow Podcast. Thank you guys for joining us. We will be back again real soon.